Ramon. Ramon. Bienvenidos. We're glad to have you, everyone here, if you're visiting this morning. If you just lift your hand just so we can say God bless you, we're glad. I know Grace Ann's got some, her sister and different people in. Good to have you guys. Good to have everybody. God bless you. And we trust that God will minister to you today and speak into your heart. On the way in, I hope today, as you came in, if you didn't, you can get it on the way out. But next week, we're going to start a time of prayer and fasting. And what I did is I put out there a couple of things, an information sheet that talks about the fast and benefits of fasting and so forth. And just so I won't have to keep going over those every year, you can get those and keep a hold of them yourself. Also, too, there is a book I would suggest and recommend strongly if you want to really get more detail in it by Jensen Franklin about fasting, if you really want to be. And let me just encourage you this. You know, I was thinking about this morning I was praying. You know, most of us, we've got all kind of electronic devices, probably several of them in our home, probably more than one car. We invest in all kind of things, and all that's good. But you know what? You need to invest in your spiritual growth. You need to. So I talked about someone, but those books are expensive. Listen, what you get out of a book like this from an anointed man or woman of God, I'm telling you what, money can't pay for. Money can't pay for. You're not paying for the truth you're getting. You're just praying for to get the product to you. I'm telling you what, there are riches. And listen, I'm always reading. I'm always investing in myself. I've had people say, why is it that you teach the way you do and you've got so much information, so much knowledge? I'm going to tell you what, it doesn't happen by chance. I didn't just wake up one morning and all this fell on me. I worked at it. I study, I read, I take time, I invest in it. You know why? It's important to me. It's important to me. You going to take up my preaching time?
Just for a minute. He's plugging books. I've got to tell you about another book, and I may have mentioned it before, but I'm going to say it again. The same pastor, Jensen Franklin, he also wrote a book called Believe That You Can.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you've read that book or not, but let me tell you, when God asks you to do, tells you to do something, and you know in and of yourself you can't do it alone, okay? It's not believe that I can all by myself. That's not what he's saying. He's saying through God you can do these things that I've called you to do because I've called you and I've equipped you to do these things.
Absolutely.
Okay? I want you guys to go out and get that book. It is so good. It's called Believe That You Can. When I was asked to take over the worship ministry, I was like, God, I can't do this. I am so inadequate with my musical abilities. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't. And God just supernaturally put that book in front of me and said, believe that you can. And I read that thing and I hung on every word because it's based on the word of God. And here's the thing. God's going to tell you to do something that you can't do by yourself. Okay, you can count on it. If you know you can do it, God's probably not telling you to do it. So in 2010, I want you during this prayer and fasting time, get a hold of God's will for you. Get a hold of that thing that he wants you to do here, now, in this church, not in the sweet by and by. And then edify yourself with the word, pray in tongues, you know, and get in the word and find the word that pertains to your situation, what he's telling you to do, and get some extra resources like this Believe That You Can book. And I'm telling you, God will ignite you. He will set you on fire and you will see yourself grow and stretch. And and it's not just going to be in your head. It's going to be confirmed by others. They're going to see you grow. Amen.
Amen.
And it's to his glory.
Amen.
It's nothing in and of yourself.
Amen.
So let's do something. Let's faith has corresponding actions. That means when God tells you to do something, go out and do something that's, you know what I'm saying? You put one foot in front of the other and you have to do something. You can't just stand there and wait for it to come in the mailbox. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I want to challenge all the leaders. I say this, and my pastor taught me this. He said, leaders are readers.
That's right.
The reason some people are stuck in the past is they haven't got anything new knowledge. Last book they read was in 1970, 80 something. And that's all good. I've got books that were printed in the 1700s. But I want to tell you what, you need to get a fresh word in you. And I'm telling you, these two books by Jensen Franklin, I highly recommend. They will help you. You need to be inspired. You need to have to lift your vision. That's what we're going to talk about in this. But also back there, along with the information on prayer and fasting, I put together just a little sheet of suggestions about setting the purpose of our fast for this next year. Now, we're not going to start the next week, but I wanted you to get this information so that you could take this sheet and start praying this week about the things in these areas over your family, your church family, and over our city, areas we want to especially set some agendas, because we don't just fast. Somebody says, what are you fasting for? Well, nothing in particular. Well, you're bound to get it. Because no matter what happens, you can say it was nothing in particular. Isn't that right? That's like praying a prayer. What'd you pray? Well, no, I wasn't really praying for anything. Well, then that's easy to answer. Why'd you even bother to pray it? Isn't that right? So when we pursue God in this time of prayer and fasting, I want it to, as a suggestion, look in these three areas. Get a sheet if you didn't. There's some out in the foyer. You can get some on your way out. And begin to seek God this week, because I'm going to talk about more specifically about the week of prayer and fasting. And then the next week, the 10th through the 17th, we're going to be fasting. And I'll get into all that next week about the particulars of that. Let me just also remind you, this week, that we have a radio program. How many of you know we had a radio program? Does anybody know what station it's on? Don't you say. Does anybody out there know? Yeah, but I want to see if they know. Huh? Nobody knows? WLVJ 1040 AM. Everybody say that. WLVJ 1040 AM. Say it again. Tuesdays at 11:30. Say that again. Tuesdays at 11:30. You can also go on the internet on Tuesdays at 11:30 and listen to it over the internet. At 11:30. 11:30 to 12. Okay? Now, here's the thing. In the month of January, I'm going to be talking on the radio broadcast how to hear God's voice. How to hear God's voice. You know, that's kind of important as a Christian, isn't it? Amen. I don't want to be a deaf and dumb spiritual, deaf and dumb Christian. Because I'm going to tell you what. When you can't hear from God as a Christian, you are severely handicapped. Jesus said, you'll walk in the dark. And he said, if you walk in the dark, what you're eventually going to do? Fall in the ditch. I don't know what that means, but it don't sound good. Isn't that right? I remember when I was in the world waking up in the ditch a few times. And I'm telling you how I got there. It wasn't good. Are y'all out there? Sometimes I feel like I just have church by myself. I just get so excited. I'm so thrilled about what God's doing. You need to get excited about what God's doing. Are you expecting God to do anything in your life this year? Amen. Good. All right. I want to read to you in 1 Samuel. Now, I had a lesson all prepared, but God gave me this. So this is where we're going. So get your notes out and take them. I have no idea. I know where we're going to go, but where we're starting, but where we'll end, who knows? 1 Samuel 3. It said, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. The word of the Lord was rare, and there was not many visions. Now, I trust that this is not the case, or has not been the case, in your spiritual walk. But for too many in the body of Christ, it has been. When is the last time you got a fresh word from God? When is the last time God spoke to you specifically about your life, about His purpose, about your family, about your place and your part in His kingdom? When's the last time you had a fresh word from God? Listen, Christianity is just like the children, you know, and it's compared, and many times it's compared to the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. Listen, if you do not get a fresh word from God on a regular basis, Christianity will get to be the oldest, driest, most boring, mundane thing you have ever done. It's like I tell new couples, you know, that are getting ready to get married. Many times I tell them, marriage can either be heaven on earth or it'll be hell on earth. Yep. And it's the same thing with Christianity. It can be the most exciting, the most fulfilling, the most thrilling thing that you have ever in your life imagined. Or it can be the most boring, the most legalistic, the more I don't even want to get up and go to church. I don't even want to get up and pray. I don't want to get up and read my Bible. I'm just bored, bored, bored. You know what? Your problem is you don't have a fresh word from God. The children of Israel, God told them, he said, listen, you're going to have to go out every day and get fresh manna from heaven. You try to keep it the next day, and when they opened it up, it'd be nothing but worms. And some people, all that you have in your Christian walk now, in your faith, it's like worms. It's disgusting. It's boring. It's disappointing. It's disillusionment because you have not gotten a fresh word from God. One of the reasons we are starting this year off with prayer and fasting is to encourage you to break out of that cycle and to seek God for a fresh word from God for your life. No, it's amazing to me. People will run around to meetings all over the countryside hoping they'll get a word from the Lord. Come on. They'll go to this seminar, they'll go to that meeting, they hear something's happening up over there, and everybody floods over there. And then they hear something's happening over here, and everybody floods over there. As if God was only in that place. That is so Old Testament. You say, we shouldn't go to those places? Well, not for that reason. It's all right to go if God's moving somewhere. But I want to tell you this, God can move right in your prayer closet. The only reason he's not is because somebody's not there. God's not going to have a prayer meeting by himself. He don't need it. Come on. He don't need to go in that prayer closet. He don't need to pray. He's prayed up. But see, here's the thing. He will visit you if you go there. But notice what it says. It says, the word of the Lord was rare. It was scarce. I think that's one of the reasons why everybody runs around all these places. My God, you mean somebody's getting a word from the Lord? Well, I'll buy a ticket. We'll go to China for that. And that's good and well. But I want to tell you what. We need to find the word of the Lord ought to start being common, not rare. Amen. By common, I don't mean that we take it lightly. But I mean that it should be everywhere. There should be an abundance of the word of the Lord. God should be speaking. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church over there. He said, when you all come together, he said, one of you has a revelation. One's had a vision you got to share. One's got a prophecy. One's got a tongue. One's got an interpretation. He said, that's why he gave instructions how to do everything decently in order. Why? Because they all had a word. They're all hearing from God. Nowadays, we ain't got to worry so much about order. Because, you know, we hope the preacher's got a word. But that's about it. Sometimes he might not. Come on, I'm telling the truth. So what I want to talk, the reason we want to start with prayer and fasting, what is we want to throw off this thing. I don't want religion. I don't want religion. I don't want a set of rules and regulations. I don't want all that stuff, that legalism on me. I want a relationship with a living God. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to walk out the purpose of God in my life. I'm not here to pay off a house. Dear God, I don't care if I ever pay one off. I ain't taking it with me. We get so caught up with that. I'd rather hear the voice of God than pay off a house. I'd rather fulfill the call of God than have everything laid up for my retirement. Nothing wrong with those things. Don't misunderstand me. But we'll move heaven and earth as it was for those other two things. And we won't give 5 minutes to listen to God. So this is why we start out the new year. Started out in prayer and fasting. Why? Because you need a word from God. There's not a person in here that does not need a fresh word from God for your life. For your family. For your children. For your church. For your city. You know, Nehemiah, when they were restoring the walls and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, he told them, he said, don't be intimidated by the enemy. He said, you fight for your sons and for your daughters. He said, you fight for your city. Too many times as Christians, we're passive. We want to just lay down. Well, I guess that was just the will of the Lord. No, I'll tell you what's wrong is the army of God didn't get up and go out with their swords. too many Christians like David. It says in the times when kings went out to battle, David stayed at home and he got up in the middle of the afternoon. Tells you where he was at. And you know what happened to him too. He got in trouble with Bathsheba, didn't he? He should have been out fighting, but he got lazy. He sent somebody else to do his work. Of course, we wouldn't do that in the church, would we? We expect the pastors, the elders, and a handful of other people to do all the work. Listen, you don't get a word from the Lord. If you don't discern the seasons of God in your life, you're going to be susceptible to temptation. It will snare you because you won't have any strength. Your focus will be all wrong. Your purpose will be all wrong. You need a word. It says the word of the Lord was rare and there were not many visions. Where is the vision of God? Where is the vision of God? Is it out here somewhere? We're going to go up to Toronto and get a vision. We're going to go out to Brother Osteen's church and get a vision. We're going to run over here somewhere else and get a vision. No, I want to tell you, the vision is in God. Are you listening to me? The vision's not. You remember what Paul wrote over in Romans 10? He said, don't say, who's going to go up to heaven and bring God down and do all these things? He said, no. He said, the word of the Lord is near you, in your heart and in your mouth. Well, I want to tell you, the vision of God for your life is near you. It's in your heart, and God wants to put it in your mouth. But we have to seek God. I wish it would fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree, but it doesn't. You have to seek God. And listen, you have to have a vision. What's God's vision for your life, for your family? What's the vision for grace? Where are we headed? What are we doing? Are we just having a bunch of meetings every week, you know, or every year, and then we go through that and we recycle and have a bunch more meetings? Or are we going somewhere? Is there a purpose? Does God want us to be fruitful? Does God want us to make a difference? Amen? Your life would be a whole lot more exciting if you grab hold of God's vision. It'll be a whole lot more interesting if you get a hold of God's vision. He'll take you places you never thought you'd go. He'll bring people across your path you'll get to minister to you never thought you would. He'll grant favor to you. He'll bring blessings to you that you never in your life imagined. But it doesn't happen when we sit on the seat of do nothing. We have to grab a hold. And it's not just doing whatever. It's doing what He has spoken to us. And you're not going to know that unless you have ears to hear. The word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli represented the established religion, the religious leadership of that day. Eli was the high priest. How many of you know that? Listen to this though. Whose eye was becoming dim that he could barely see. Now here's the thing. Here's a word for leaders. I'm one here. There are others here. This is a word for us as the leadership of this church. We better get busy seeking God in this fasting time. It doesn't matter what God said 20 years ago when this church started. I mean, it matters, but not for today. I got to have a word for today. God's going to build upon that. But we got to have a fresh word today. We got to have a fresh. What's God saying today for us? Because see, if you don't have a fresh word, you'll never make any changes. You'll always be afraid of change. Because the past says this is the... See, the past was good then. Are you listening? Just like yesterday's manna was good for yesterday. But if you try to carry it into today, it's wormy. So we got to get a fresh word. And we got to make sure that our eyes... And another thing too, your eyes will grow dim if you're not getting a fresh word and getting fresh vision. Because what? The vision of God is progressive for our life, isn't it? God never tells you everything. He tells you a part. Then you pursue that, He'll give you another unfolding. You pursue that, then He'll give you some more. But if you stop and camp, that's where you'll stay. And your eye will grow dim when you camp too long in a place. Boy, I'm telling you, this is good stuff. It says they were coming so weak that they could barely see. And was lying down in his usual place. Boy, that's a great word picture, isn't it? His eye was dim, he couldn't see, and he was laying down in his usual place. It's a shame that's too much of a definition of a whole lot of Christians in the body of Christ. Their eye is dim, they cannot see. the vision of God, the purpose of God, and they're in a rut. They're just lying down. And it's the same old, same old, same old. Come on. You know, in the Barna Report, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Barna Report, but I would encourage you if those of you that go online, go to the BarnaReport.com. George Barna, he's been taking the opinion polls and research polls for the church, Christian church, for 25 years. And I'm going to tell you what, you know, one of the things he sees is that more and more people, what, are leaving the church. So what do we do in the church? We figured out what we got to do. We got to be more like Disney World. That'll get them. You know, we're going to just entertain them. We'll razzle down them. We'll show them that we can outworld the world. Come on. We got something for everybody. And we even got something for those that hadn't come yet. You know, like Paul, you know, when he was there in Athens, it said, you know, he looked around, they had, you know, something for every god, they had a statue up or something, you know, and they even had one there that said to the unknown god. Just in case we forgot somebody. Don't want to make anybody mad. And so the next thing you know, what we want to water down the gospel and water everything down to the lowest common denominator, because we don't want to offend anybody, because we need everybody we can get. Listen, if we get the word of the Lord, if we get the vision of God, I want to tell you what, it will attract the people God wants to attract. When people get touched by God, when their lives are changed, I want to tell you what, they don't care whether your air-conditioned building's just right. If you don't believe me, go to China, go to India, go to those places where they don't have that. They're coming by the millions. And they don't have some fancy children's church or all that. Nothing wrong with all that. But we've made that our priority. Instead of what? Seeking God and getting the word of the Lord. What is the word of the Lord? Get the vision of God. Get out of your rut. If you feel like your Christianity is just, it's become a rut, then I'm going to tell you what. This time of prayer and fasting we're going to have next week, it is for you. Because it will be your opportunity to break out of this thing. Now notice this. While this was going on with the established religion, and notice what it says, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. Thank God. But the implication is there it was close. It had not yet gone out. Because when you don't have a fresh word, when you don't have a fresh vision, I want to tell you what, the lamp, the revelation, the illumination of God is just about to go out. And listen, without that, we are walking in darkness. And church, if we're walking in darkness, I'm telling you what, we are in trouble. And too much of us in the church, we are walking with our lamp almost to go out. I wonder if we took a poll and said, what is God saying to the church? What is God's purpose and plan for the church? What is the timing of God for the church right now? I wonder if any of us, how many of us in the body of Christ would have a clue? For most of us, it's just, well, I guess God wants to do the same old stuff. Listen, don't let the light go out. It said, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Notice where Samuel was. He was where the ark represented what? The presence of God. Samuel was in the presence of God. The old leadership was going through the motions. Doing the same old thing. Had no word. Had no vision. Their lamp was about to go out. But look at the next generation God was about to raise up here. Samuel. And it said that he was there next to the ark of the Lord. Where the presence of God was. Where the glory of God was. And where God's illumination was. That's where God's calling us, church. That's where God's calling us in 2010. And I want to tell you what, it's not going to just be the same old that's going to get you there. If it was going to get you there, you'd have got there a long time ago. God's call always requires us, what, to make a change. God said to Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing, but not here. Not where you're at. Not where you're at. It's got to be somewhere different. He said, where's that at? He said, Follow me and I'll show you. Follow me and I'll show you. He says, where the ark of the Lord was, then the Lord called Samuel. Where's God? Where's the call? Where are you going to experience the calling of God at? When you get into the presence of God and you prostrate yourself there, you listen to God, you get quiet before God, you say, God, I'm going to hear you. I'm going to hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to get a fresh word for 2010. I'm going to get a fresh vision for my family, for my life. I'm going to hear what you're saying about my church at Grace. It's not just going to be the pastor and a few elders that know where we're going. We're all going to know where we're going. We're all going to be sons of Issachar. We're going to go there together.
Amen.
And it won't be me trying to convince you this is what we got to do, because the Holy Spirit will already have shown you. And we can walk together.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
He said, then the Lord called Samuel. Then the Lord called Samuel. You know what? I want to experience a fresh call of God upon my life in 2010. Are you listening? I'm always aware of the call of God on my life. Since I got saved and didn't really know what it was, because I wasn't grown, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know what to call it. But here's the thing. I tell you what, there are times and seasons in God when we need to experience afresh and anew the fire of God burning in our gut.
Amen.
We need to experience afresh and anew the calling of God, the sense of destiny and purpose upon our life. That it's more than paying off a car, paying off a mortgage, and having a nice retirement. God may call some of us to never retire. Oh, my God, listen. You know, I can't find the word retirement in the Bible. Can you? Refire? I don't know about retire. Isn't that right? I thought retirement, God's retirement, was when we got to heaven. I thought that was retirement. Isn't that right? See, what is he wanting to do? Rock us to sleep. Well, after all, you know, now you've done your part for God. Nobody's done more than you. Well, you know that's not true. There's always somebody that's done more. Isn't that true? Thank God for what you've done. But listen, God's not through with you. I said, God's not through with you. I don't care whether you're 8 or 88. God's not through with you. Don't let the devil tell you that. Don't let other people tell you that. Yeah, but I got this. You know, I can't move as fast as I used to. You can still pray like you used to. Hello? You can still seek God like you used to. Ought to be able to better. Amen? I'm 56. I hope at 86, I'm going to be able to, man, I'm going to be, able, boy, you think I'm praying now? Man, give me another 30 years, the Lord tarries. I'll really be a prayer warrior. I don't plan on diminishing. I plan on increasing.
Amen.
Increasing. And I'm going to share that next week. That's the word God's given me. Then the Lord called Samuel. He called him. And Samuel answered, here am I. I want to tell you something. If the pastor calls you, if an elder or a deacon calls you, if another brother or sister in the Lord is the call on your life, it will not last. I can't run this race just because of how much I love you. Hello? We should love one another, and we can encourage one another in a race. But I don't run the race. I don't do what I do just because of you. Because if I do, and then I do something that you don't like, and you get mad and leave, what am I going to do? Quit? Because you ain't here no more. Listen, we do what we do. Why? Because we heard the voice of God. You know what? When you hear the voice of God, nothing can drive you away. I don't care if people act up, if people do something wrong, if people have hurt you, offend you, do something. I told people, I said, I don't, you know, people come in, you know, they needed to talk to the pastor. You always know what's coming. As soon as they get through telling what all's wrong with me and why they're leaving, and I'm feeling all rosy. I've just told people, I said, well, God bless you, brother, sister, whatever the case may be. You know, I don't have that luxury. I can't quit. I want to sometime, but I can't. I'm just being honest, but I can't. God won't let me. Somebody says, you ever had an opportunity to quit? Millions of them. How about you? But you know what? The word of the Lord. The vision of God. Hearing the voice of God. That is what has made the difference. And that's the only thing. When everything, all this other stuff is good, but the bottom line of all bottom lines is, if you haven't heard that, if you haven't received that, then you know what? The devil will find some way to press a button that will get you to quit. That will get you to move out of God's perfect will. That will get you to move out of God's plan and purpose for your life. And so in 2010, we got to seek God. Each one of us for ourselves. And say, okay, here's what. Now remember what the writer over there in Habakkuk said. He said, write the vision down. As you listen to God, as God speaks to you, write it down. Because I can promise you that when you get back into your regular routine and you're doing things and all, you're not going to feel nearly as inspired. And you might forget that word, but if you go back to that word, listen, I've got words God gave me 30 years ago. You know why? Because when God speaks, it's important to me. When God speaks, it's important to me. How about you? How about you? Amen. And he said, even if the vision tarries, he said, you wait for it. You hold on to it. What held Abraham in the land of Canaan? What kept him from going back? What kept him in times of test and trouble? What held him fast when it looked like nothing was working? It was what? The word of the Lord. Not the word of the Lord that had been given to Lot. Why was it that Lot had such struggles? Because he tried to go in on Abraham's coattails. Yeah, Lot just went along for the ride. He went along with Uncle Abraham. And he got blessed because he hung out with Abraham. But when the rubber meeting the road, when he was by himself in the city of Gomorrah, he did not have the vision, he did not have the strength to stand for God. And look at the end of Lot. Look at the end of his family. Big difference between Lot and Abraham's end, isn't there? Even though they were both in the same place. They were both related. But here's the thing, Abraham, what he had a word. A word from God. Lot never got it. Oh, he saw that Abraham was successful. He saw that, you know, and so he hung around him for the convenience of that. But I want to tell you what, Christianity is not about convenience. Because I promise you, you follow the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to lead you into some inconvenient places. Inconvenient for your flesh. Inconvenient for your agenda. But I'm going to tell you what. It'll bring forth life for the kingdom and for others. So here's the thing. As we seek God. Now we're going to start not tomorrow but the next Monday. And I'm going to talk some more about some specific things. I feel like God's speaking to us as a church body. But I want to encourage you. You take that list that I put together. Just use it as a prompt. That's all it's meant to be. And you look at these areas of your life and say, okay, what am I going to seek God about concerning my family, my research? See, don't just seek God about nothing in particular. Be specific about your family, your marriage, your kids, your ministry, your calling, your whatever it is. Be specific. You can do it in different areas. And write that down. Get yourself ready this next week. Get yourself prepared. And then next week, man, boom, we're going to launch out together. And we're going to spend a week of praying and fasting and listening to God. And God's going to, listen, I promise you, if you do this, God will speak to you. God will speak to you. That's the promise of God. He said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you his sheep? If you belong to Jesus, you're his sheep. If you belong to Jesus, then you know what? You can hear his voice. And so, but here's the thing. The reason we have it many times is what? We have been to. This thing's running us around. Oh my God, I need to pray. But you know, I've got this appointment. I got to be over here. I got to be over there. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do the other. See, when we fast, one of the things it helps us do is to put time back in perspective. We get off of this, you know, 3 meals a day, 4 snacks in between, or whatever. We get off of this and we get on God's watch, which is Kairos. It's times and seasons. You can't set your watch, this kind of watch, and say, okay, God, move or do this or speak or whatever. No, we put ourselves in position. We move from Kronos when we pray and fast into Kairos. We move from the natural into the spirit. We move from being so attuned to the natural senses to the spiritual senses. We say, okay, God, you speak. I'm not letting my lamp go out. I'm not going to let my eye grow dim. I'm not going to let my ear go dull. I'm going to hear what you have to say. And you write it down and you run with it. I said you run with it. Amen. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. This wasn't what I'd planned, but this is what God gave me this morning in praying. And I want to encourage you in it. Encourage myself in it as your pastor. I want to lead you according to the latest fad. I want to hear what God's saying for us here at Grace. I want to hear what God's saying and follow hard after that. And then, you know what? That gives birth to whatever it gives birth to. We follow the Spirit of God, and whatever He wants to birth, that gets birthed. Amen. Whatever He wants to birth out of that, let it be birthed by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to, the first Sunday, we're going to have our covenant meal together. You put that right there. So I'm going to ask the men to go ahead and, if they come, start getting things ready while I encourage you just a little bit longer. You know, one of the things that will hold us back and getting a vision from God is not being able to let go of the past. I want to read you something that Paul said here while they're preparing. Y'all listen to me now. They can do that all by themselves. Listen to this in Philippians. Paul speaking here. Notice what he says. He says, notice what Paul's quest was. He said, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. The fellowship of His of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, so that I can attain to the resurrection from the dead. Whew. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's what we're about. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Listen, if we are unwilling to have seasons of prayer and fasting, seeking God and listening to God, you know what we're saying? We have arrived. There is nothing more for me to receive from God. There's nothing more for me to hear from God. There's nothing new God could possibly say to me. Now, we might not on purpose be saying, but that's really what we're saying, isn't it? I don't need to hear from God. I heard from God 30 years ago. I'm good. I got saved 50 years ago. I'm good. Well, isn't it interesting? The Apostle Paul, who was caught up to the third heavens, who had visions of Jesus, angels, wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, he didn't seem to think he'd arrived. I think he's got you outpaced. Isn't that right? He said, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Boy, I'm telling you what. I think when Paul said one thing I do, that's got my attention. One thing. If he'd said 50 things, I'd have been, oh. One thing I do. Forgetting what is behind. forgetting what is behind. How much of 2009 is behind you? What was Paul's advice? Forgetting. Two of the hardest things in the Christian life. Forgetting and waiting. Isn't that true? Boy, even Abraham struggled with waiting. I mean, God said, swim 3 miles out and 3 miles back. Well, bless God, here we go. But God just says, wait. Something as easy and simple as wait. Oh, it's hard, isn't it? And then here he says, forgetting. It's not easy to forget everything that's happened. All that's happened to me. What people have done to me, said to me. What life has done and all. He said, but here's the thing. He said, if you want to attain, if you want to grow, if you want to move forward, if you want to hear a fresh word from God, he said, you've got to forget everything behind you. He said, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal. Hallelujah. Now, as we enter a brand new year, 2010, that's what we're declaring. God, this time of prayer and faith, I'm forgetting what's behind. It does not matter. It does not matter. No matter how good it was, it was. Isn't that right? Doesn't mean it is. It was. It was a good year. But you know what? I'm not living in 2009. I'm living in 2010. Isn't that right? And it doesn't matter how bad 2009 was. That's the whole critical thing. It was. Doesn't mean it is anymore. Unless what? You forget to let go of it. You keep rehearsing and nursing and bringing 2009 and, like one of these transparent overlays, and we're just going to take everything in 2009 that happened. We're going to overlay it over 2010. And expect the same old bad stuff. Oh, yeah. Well, I know. I heard Pastor say that. But he just don't know. But listen, don't do that. This morning, as we partake of the covenant meal on this first week of the year, this is a time for you. And here's what I want us to do when we get to it. We're going to put, just like it truly has happened at Calvary, we're going to apply it to our lives, that 2009 is going to be put under the blood this morning. Amen. When we eat this bread and drink this cup, you know what we're going to declare? That 2009, okay, it's all under the blood. I don't care how bad it was. I don't care all the stuff that happened. I don't care about the disappointments, the things that didn't happen that I thought would happen and I hoped would happen and it didn't. It's going to go under the blood. So we step across that, through that bloodline into 2010, and all that stuff that was on us, I just come out squeaky clean, ready for a brand new year. And I look at 2010. And here's what I would do if I were you. This is what I'm going to do. That nothing is going to be written in my mind and in my heart about 2010 until God speaks to me. I'm going to let Him write 2010. He's going to write my history in advance. Amen. I'm going to let Him write down what 2010 is going to be. What my expectations for 2010. It's going to come from the Lord. And I'm going to attach my faith to what God says. And remember what He said? Faith gives substance to the things we hope for. God's going to speak to you. And then you're going to mix faith with it. And that faith that God gave you, mixed with the vision and the word God gives you, will become the substance of 2010 for your life. Amen. Can we do that? I believe we can. I'm sure we can. Listen, this morning in the covenant meal. We invite everybody.